I'm John Batchelor with the Scala Report. Scala.com, a global technology firm transforming the retail space with digital signage. I welcome the traveling CEO of Scala.com, Chris Riegel. We begin with the headlines in the Wall Street Journal. U.S. economy grew 4.9%, powered by consumers. That's us, especially us seniors, we're told by the Journal. Gross domestic product, goes the subhead, grew at a seasonally and inflation-adjusted 4.9% annual rate in the third quarter, much stronger than economists were anticipating just a few months ago. We will not start in America. We will start overseas with China. Chris has business on all the major consumer continents. Chris, a very good evening to you. The Belt and Road Forum, attended by 110, 130 representatives of countries that took money from China, was not a blazing success. Putin was the star attraction, and then he left. Not a whole lot of money was talked about being passed around. China's without ready cash right now. This translates into doubts about the ability for the economy to recover. Xi Jinping visited prominently in these last hours the People's Bank of China. The emperor went to see how the treasury was doing. Not doing well. And I'm told by the smart set on Wall Street that if China is going to reverse its decline, it's going to need a lot more stimulus than it's now providing. You have an eye on China's manufacturing. Christmas has passed. They've shipped all of that. It's in the stores or not. What about springtime? Are the manufacturers looking for a positive development? Do they think after all this consumption we're doing, they're still doing poorly? Do they think we'll consume even more? What is their light at the end of the tunnel if they have one? Good evening to you, Chris.
Good evening, John. The Chinese are certainly hoping that the American consumer heals. And off of this GDP report, the question really comes to say, is that a blip at the 4.9 print, or is that sustainable? If it is sustainable, that could be good news for China in terms of increased factory orders and other, especially because within that number, personal consumption grew from 0.8 to 4.0%, a huge, huge print. So does that mean the American consumer is spending again, or is this an anomaly that won't be replicated in the next quarter? Too soon to tell, but the Chinese are certainly looking for the restart of that factory floor.
The Chinese manufacturer, the containers carry it to the U.S., and then we buy. That's the old way. Now, the question is raised, are we buying that extra TV or that extra Land Cruiser or a really cool Deer tractor that can clean out the creek? Are we buying it or are we forgoing it and spending money on hotels and restaurants? Can you tell, Chris, because you have business in both directions?
John, for sure, electronic sales, television, smartphones, et cetera, larger ticket items are reduced this year. TVs down 28%, smartphones down 12 to 14%. So it's likely that the consumer is spending more money on experiential travel, restaurants, entertainment. There does seem to be substantial growth in those areas. Bigger ticket items are being pushed off, and that's not necessarily good news for manufacturing.
And that would also attend to Detroit, where they're in a strike now with the UAW, but they're also talking around the edges about the EVs and their lots. I've heard stories, anecdotes only, that EVs spend a lot of time on the lot for the salesman of GM. Everybody's got one. Do you hear EVs being rejected, being overpriced, underpriced, being not accepted by the American consumer, anything like that?
John, I think the EV velocity is certainly stalled. In the U.S., maybe less visible, but in Europe, I noticed the last several weeks, farm fields in the Netherlands and Belgium with dozens or hundreds of Teslas sitting, brand new, not delivered to dealerships. So you're starting to see them pile up in certain areas. As China is making the push towards EV, you're also now seeing a juxtaposition or a rebalancing with many of the European automakers starting to pull back on EV development in China, both for intellectual property reasons, but also the market starting to kind of bottom out domestically within China.
You traveled in Europe recently, and we talked about Germany anxious about the war, now two wars. I want to add that all of the powers in Europe experienced huge protests, anti-U.S., anti-Israel protests. these last days. Paris, certainly 100,000 turned out the day after President Macron told them not to. He didn't ask them not to. He told them not to. And yet in London, large protests, in Berlin as well. Is that in any fashion connected to the economy, the Mideast war, or is it outside of our concern about the consumer and about the manufacturing?
I think it goes to the point that you have in many of those cities, large disconnected populations, meaning people that have not integrated into British or French society, where you have effectively new age ghettos in those environments. Without the economic integration of people that have come to the UK or to France, there'll always be an economic deficit or a gap and always be a place to foment dissent. Is that part of the bigger issue? Probably not. It's simply an opportunity for them to protest.
And manufacturing is Germany's story. They need energy, lots of energy, extra energy. And yet what they've committed themselves to is dependence upon the United States. Is that a comfortable thing? Do you hear negative words about not only the United States driving NATO, but it's also dominating us because we must buy their natural gas?
John, the Germans are working very aggressively at activating another path into Germany from a southern route to reestablish by Russian natural gas, to get those energy costs back to a point that makes it competitive. But you are seeing more examples that we've seen specifically of German manufacturers starting to decamp from Germany, going to other parts of the world, not only because of the energy cost, but the continued cost of labor spiraling in Germany. Germany can be competitive on a global stage with high labor costs and low energy costs. If you have high energy costs and high labor costs, it becomes very, very difficult to do business there in many categories of manufacturing.
We come home to America, 4.9%. That's the third quarter GDP, which is extremely aggressive. The Journal writes, the big reason for the summer's blowout growth, Americans stepped up spending, defying expectations they would pull back due to a series of interest rate hikes from the Federal Reserve, aimed at cooling inflation by slowing the economy. The economic acceleration, which was foreshadowed by strong hiring and retail data, won't change the Fed's plans to hold rates steady at their meeting next week. So what we've got here is the Fed pausing as if its hikes of 22 into 23 are working, and yet our economy is growing. So the puzzle, have we got a strong economy despite the interest rates? Are we so strong that 5% doesn't bother us? Or is this a complete contradiction that will be worked out in time? How do you see it, Chris?
John, it's probably a contradiction, maybe a one quarter very hot print, but the Fed's in a very tricky spot. The Fed needs to continue to raise rates to cool inflation. But on the flip side, U.S. government added $600 billion in debt last month alone. So while the U.S. government, the Fed has to try to manage interest rates and manage them up to cool inflation, the flip side is that means that the U.S. Treasury is going to be paying higher and higher rates on borrowing while the amount of money the government borrowing continues to surge. So it's a lose-lose situation. If you're in the Fed today, no particular path is right. There'll always be criticism. That's a very tough decision.
I want to look to the springtime because, as I said, the China's already manufactured Christmas, and we can expect a lot of unsold product come January. But the springtime is the new clothing, the new gifts. Is there any indication from your China information that the springtime orders are better than they were last springtime or last summer?
John, if you're watching container volumes and if you're watching the U.S. domestic long-haul trucking markets, both would suggest that spring will be slower and volumes are being projected down across the board based on just the movement of cargo.
And therefore, what we have right now is the best we can see for a while, that it's going to be discouraging for China, and that means that their markets are not going to grow. Are we independent of China? Chris, I know you spent a lot of time thinking about the CHIPS Act and the competition with high-end. Is our economy so strong that we can ignore the troubles in China, the downturn there?
John, I think we would ignore it at our own peril. The two economies are quite tightly coupled. And if either fractures, it causes an impact on the other. In the U.S., if China were to go offline or to stop manufacturing export, it would have a substantially negative impact on our economy. The flip side being it would decimate their economy. So it's a lose-lose and a codependent relationship, but one that needs to continue to heal or continue to work together to try to evolve for the success of both countries.
Chris Riegel is the CEO of Scholar.com, a global technology firm. This is the Scholar Report. I'm John Bash.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor,